Great music, engaging talk, and good memories for our generation. You are listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio.
How many kinds of sweet flowers grow in an English country garden?
You're listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio. It's time for The Gardener with Dorothy Dobie.
Well, good morning, gardeners, and it's another beautiful day in Manitoba. And my guest this morning is Janice Lukes, a city councillor from, what's the name of your ward, Jan?
Waverly West.
Waverly West. I should know all those things, but they just don't stick in my head. I'm really, really glad to see you. It's been, you know, too long. And we've got a really interesting topic this morning. We're going to talk about the Year of the Garden, which you championed through City Hall. But I wanted to do before that, just say to everybody out there that this is, you know, she's famous because she has a son who grows giant pumpkins. So this is Milan's mom. And I have to ask you, like, what is it like having a famous son pumpkin grower?
It's hilarious because, you know, I used to own a flower shop many years ago. So I was, you know, Janice Lukes, owner of a flower fair. Then I became the city councillor. And when I circulate in Milan's circle, I'm Janice Lukes, Milan's mom, right?
He is so good, though, and so smart. And the poor kid, is he still stuck at home working for, you know?
He's in his room right now studying for a big exam. He's been in his bedroom for almost, going on 2 years.
Oh.
Studying, you know, I don't know. He's doing soil sciences, plant sciences, biology, physics, you name it. And he's just beavering away up in his bedroom. He basically rolls out of bed, rolls into his chair, rolls out of his chair back into bed. So
that's what he told me. I think that's a poor guy. I feel sorry for him, but he's such a smart kid that he'll overcome it all.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Have two other sons that you have, they're triplets, right?
I do. I have two more sons, and both of them are on waiting lists at Red River because, for whatever reason, I guess people are all going back to school. So they've been on a waiting list for over a year now.
Really?
One is going into the computer science co-op program, and the other one is going into small engine motor boat repair. But they're on waiting list. So basically they got part-time jobs and they're driving us crazy.
Well, there you are. Well, it's a wonderful world, especially the world of COVID makes it much more interesting than you would ever believe. But we're here to talk about gardening. Now, you told me you had a flower shop in the past.
Yeah, I was 22 years old in 1980. I guess that gives away how old I am. it was 1982. I was 22 and I bought, was a hair salon at the time. And I bought it and converted it into a flower shop right beside the Health Science Center and beside Bardell Funeral Home.
Wow.
We had a little saying, you know, we took them from the womb to the tomb and everywhere in between.
But I had know where that flower shop is, too. I've seen it many times.
I had a staff of eight. That's what we ended up doing. And this was before Safeway or Michael's or Costco.
Yeah.
Flowers. And we did flowers, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. We did flowers for the Queen of England, Sarah Ferguson.
Wow.
It was kind of very niche in that, I'm going to call it an era, right?
Yeah.
So I did that for 15 years, and it was an incredible training ground for having triplets.
No, but what a wonderful career. What a wonderful thing to do. And so young to start off at 22.
I just graduated from the business admin course at Red River, so I knew everything, right?
You knew it all. That's exactly what happens, right? You're so powerful. You go through those courses. Well, still, it's an amazing story. What took you away from the whole garden scene or the flower scene?
Well, I went in one morning and I just kind of lost it on the stapler. The stapler wasn't working. And I thought, you know what? You grow a business and sometimes you grow it so big that it runs you. You don't run it. And, you know, when I was 22 for 15 years, like I really focused. I sort of didn't do a lot of things that 22-year-olds, 37-year-olds do. And then I just decided, you know what? Someone came in with cash. They wanted to buy the business. I'm like,
right.
Why not? Right.
Good for you. Well, that's a fantastic story. But then what did you do after that? You have the triplets or did you already have them?
Then I went to work at a technology company and I headed up the marketing and communications department. The owner, I said, look, I don't know anything about computers. It was a software development company. And the owner says, you don't have to. You could talk. And that's all that matters because a lot of software development people don't really communicate. They communicate through the internet. So I went there. I worked. And this was in the dot-com boom era. Right. So it was like money flying across the states, opening offices. It was just high rolling, right?
Yeah, I remember.
And that's where I met my husband. Got married, got pregnant, it was a great timing because the industry was falling out. It was caving. And I took because I was employed, I could claim the EI and all of that. You can't do that when you're self-employed, but I was employed at this company, stayed home, had triplets, couldn't go back to work full time because, you know, that was
bit of a chore.
Yeah. So I trained and got certified in fund development. So then I started raising money for many different companies and politicians and writing grants, basically lobbying levels of government, right? For funding for projects and projects that interested me, like Lake Winnipeg bioretention systems, rain gardens, active transportation, and things along those lines. But you know what? Like, I've always had a passion, of course, because I grew up on a farm. I fell in love with flowers and nature. So I've always had a passion for flowers and plants. And you know, I still dabble in it, right? And here I am at City Hall trying to, you know, year of the garden. Let's declare. You know,
I think that's absolutely fantastic. And of course, you pass that gene on to your son, who is definitely a gardener from the, you know, day one. So an amazing story. But having triplets is an amazing story in itself. I'm sure you could write a complete book about that.
Pardon me?
They're all so different.
Well, you know, they're fraternal. And the only thing that's the same is they came out on the same day and they're male. So that's about all that's the same. So I really believe, Dorothy, I believe you are given these gifts and you got to figure out each package. You got to figure out each one. You know, one would think if you had kids, older kids or you know, you'd have different parenting skills or would evolve or same food, same parents, same everything, totally different.
I know it's amazing, isn't it? But you do expect twins to be a little closer, even though they're fraternal. But I know what you mean. And well, you've got three special kids, so you're a lucky woman.
I am.
So here we are, Year of the Garden. And tell me, you know, when you heard about it, I was really delighted to see that you went to have the declaration down at City Hall. What did you start thinking about? What can we do with this?
Well, I'm going to give a little credit here to my dear, dear friend, Bob Rowley, founder of the Farmers Market. Bob and I, he kind of convinced me to run for election also. I hold that sometimes against him. But anyways, we're very good friends. And he's our neighbor. And he said, hey, this looks interesting. What do you think? So I read over Year of the Garden and I thought, this is fantastic. So, you know, we don't often do declarations like this at City Hall. We did Year of the Pulse. Beans 1 year because we have a food council. But you know, the thing about the pandemic that really I realized and many people realized is the comfort and mental health and physical well-being being outside gardening brought. And I thought, you know what, I don't know, I'm really a big believer in marketing and promotion. It sounded like there was a marketing campaign behind this or some opportunity for promotion of being outside. And I thought, what the heck, bring it to council. I'll see if I can get it moved. It was unanimous, which that's incredible at City Hall. But anyways, it's a very light thing, you know, and I thought, I don't know what's going to come of it, but I've got some pretty funky gardens and things happening in my ward. And I thought, I'm going to do some garden tours and who knows where it'll go.
Yeah. And I think it's, well, really the whole theory, the whole idea behind Year of the Garden is, well, first of all, it's in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Canadian Nursery Landscape Association, which, you know, made a huge contribution to plant life all around the world. And because if you can grow something in Canada, chances are you can grow pretty well anywhere. But there's also this element that you just mentioned, which is giving us some kind of relief from these restrictions and the gloom and doom of COVID. And we had planned to announce this nationally on the first week in January at the Ontario Landscape Association, and they just canceled it.
Oh,
I know. Oh. So we're looking at when, you know, the next launch date. It's very discouraging because we started this in 2019 planning for this. So we're just going to keep bucketing on ahead, but it means that the launch is going to be a little bit less showy than we expected. But that doesn't stop us here in Manitoba, because we don't really get started growing and gardening until the spring. Well, we start longing for it right after Christmas.
Yes. When we start looking at the catalogs and thinking and
starting to plan for it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot we can do this summer. And by the way, you were like one of the first. I think Toronto was the first city to announce the Year of the Garden, but Winnipeg was not far behind. So I'm very pleased and really proud of that from our city. Thank you so much, Jen. But what are some of the things you think we can do in the coming years that we can encourage people to do?
Well, as you do know, I contacted the head parks director. I think he's called a director, Mr. Dave Domke.
Dave Domke, yes.
And, we have a group of gardeners that go around to different regional parks, larger parks, and they just create these incredible color palettes and shapes and textures of floral displays.
Yes, they do.
And like a lot of people really appreciate it, and some don't really think about it. But I think this is an opportunity. And I spoke to Dave, and I'm speaking with our communications team at the city to just somehow shine the spotlight on these city funded. They're more the floral display gardens, mm-hmm. right? And then I'm also working with the Food Council, the representative Jeanette Sylvay, to see how maybe there's a way to promote our community gardens, right? Amazing. The city does have a community garden sort of tentacle that, we do community gardens or offer community gardens. So these are some of the avenues, from a bigger picture city perspective. And then a couple councillors also sit on the Assiniboine Park Conservancy.
Yes,
and they're bringing this up, the Conservancy's got, gardens in extraordinaire and just sort of somehow getting them involved. And then I'm approaching individual counselors saying, look, a garden tour is super easy. Call Master Gardeners up or whoever. And I don't know, just try and promote individually through our own platforms.
Yeah. Throughout the city, there are gardening clubs. I know there's one in St. James. There's certainly one in Charleswood. Mm-hmm. They're all over the place because gardening is a big thing here in Winnipeg. And so I think that's a great idea. The garden tours, at one time we did garden tours every year. It sort of fell off. Now I think it's a great time to reintroduce it. And the color this year to sort of mark the Year of the Garden is red, plant mm-hmm. red. Mm-hmm. So just in case people are listening and start thinking about what to buy from those catalogs, look for some red flowers or some kind of a red display, maybe a way to help us celebrate.
Yes, yes. And, I know myself in my ward, we have many, many new homes on very small lots.
Right.
And some of the creativity that I've seen done on these small lots and the xeriscaping with the minimal use of water, it's really incredible. And then, of course, we have the new Mormon temple, the temple that was built, who has, I believe they've got at least one, maybe two full-time gardeners.
Really?
And I've gotten approval. They're going to give a tour of the gardens around the temple, which are, they're just incredible.
You just bring up so many possibilities. My mind starts to work overtime thinking about some of the things that we can do and some of the gardens I haven't seen that I want to be sure I toured as well. We're going to take a little break and have a song. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what gardens are out there and what public gardens and how can we expose them to the public. And I thought we would start with Four Strong Winds with Neil Young, local writer. So here's Four Strong Winds with Neil Young.
think I'll go out to Alberta. Weather's good there in the fall. I got some friends that I could go to work in for. Still, I wish you'd change your mind if I ask you one more time. But we've been through this 100 times or more. Four strong winds that blow lonely, seven seas that run high, all those things that don't change. What may, if the good times are all gone, then I'm bound for moving on. I'll look for you if I'm ever back this way. If I get there before the snow flies and if things are looking, could meet me if I send you down the fair. But by then it would be winter, not too much for you to do. And those winds sure can blow cold way out there. Or strong winds that blow lonely, seven seas that run high, all those things that don't change, come what may. The good times are all gone, so I'm bound for moving on. I'll look for you if I'm ever back this way.
I hope you enjoyed that song. I really, you know, I mean, I love Neil Young. Go out to Alberta. Well, you know what? Come back out here to Manitoba, because it's pretty good here in the springtime when we start gardening again. And my guest is Janice Lutz, who's been, well, she's got a huge gardening background herself, but who's been leading the troops on this whole year of the garden and such great ideas. I had no idea that the temple had a beautiful garden.
Yeah, it's just magnificent. They've put millions into building the building, and then hundreds of thousands into the gardens, the landscaping. And, you know, it's quite a spectacular entrance when you're entering into the neighborhoods of Bridgewater, and it's illuminated also. They've got knee-high sort of lighting and such. It's just incredible. So
The only time I've been to Bridgewater, once when I was going to the store out there because I wanted some Delta rice, and that was the only one that sold it, and the rest of the times were all inadvertent, and I was so busy trying to figure out how to get out of there.
We have low crime rates because people can't seem to figure out how the bad guys can't get in and out. So
yeah, that's a good point. It's a very interesting thing, but it's an amazing neighborhood and some very beautiful places. How many gardens do you think there are, or do you know there are in Winnipeg that are public?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. You know, we will know. Mr. Donkey's working on this on behalf of the city. We will know and be posting. We're going to be building a website page to highlight where these public gardens are. And you know, gardens, as you know, Dorothy, what's a garden, right? Is it a vegetable garden? Is it a fruit garden?
Yeah.
Is it a flower garden? Is it,
it could be a grape garden?
Yeah. It could be anything, right?
Absolutely. And some of the parks, I mean, I've just been getting a handle on how many parks there are, and they're just so many that people don't even have a clue exist, but they're really kind of gardens as well.
Yes. We have a wonderful master gardener who is creating some beautiful gardens at a park in the community of Waverly Heights. She's motivated and inspired her neighbors, and this whole little park is just being transformed under her talented green thumbs. And, you know, I'm supporting her with her initiatives and financially and chiseling through the red tape at the city. But, you know, people find it very therapeutic and relaxing and rewarding. And if we can, I think if I can encourage it in any way possible, if the city can encourage it in any way possible, why not?
Well, not only that, but I think it actually has a financial benefit, because the more beautiful the city is, mm-hmm. the more people want to invest and be here. And there's a third one too. And another group that I belong to is talking about a green corridor in downtown Winnipeg. And of course, that's really what we're talking about, is a garden in the heart of that cement, you know, enclave, which is downtown. And the more green we can introduce, the better people are, the nicer they are. I think it really improves people's moods, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, the Forks has undergone a very interesting transformation with their gardens. They've planted fruit trees. They've really done some amazing work around In at the Forks. And I believe In at the Forks uses some of the herbs and such as for their cooking and such. So again, you know, and I have a resident in the University Heights area. Her whole front lawn is, I think it's sage. It's just rolling, like rolling soft carpet, her whole front yard.
And it might be thyme.
Or thyme, maybe thyme. Yes, thyme, yeah. thyme. Tiny little leaves, and it just looks like velvet.
Yeah, so, the woolly thyme probably.
Yeah, so just spectacular. So, you know, I think I know from the city's perspective, our goal is to get a website up with all the publicly funded gardens that people can access and see. And that's going to be exciting. And then, you know, I think each counselor, if it interests them, they're going to do something. The Assiniboine Park Conservancy, hopefully we'll get the Forks on board and engaged. And, you know, another thing that's fascinating, a very, very good friend of mine in the gardening world, Marilyn Duick, she does planter gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the planter gardens are just spectacular.
Well, we do that throughout our streets in the city. I mean, we have a planter garden all the way along Portage Avenue. And they always put them in late, well, late to me, but I understand why. But they just begin to look so gorgeous in August. And then suddenly, you know, within a month, they're done. But they really do a good job. And the designer deserves a lot of credit.
Well, and think about that. In the middle of a concrete, hot, baked slab of concrete with vehicles going by. And this is something that I hope that we'll be able to explain or do a little interesting story on the city's website, is how they water them and fertilize them and keep them going, you know, because pots, as you know, they dry out, they need their fertilizer. But when, you know, you see them in the middle of these slabs of concrete, and they're just stunning, right?
Yeah.
And look at the biz, Cord and Biz, some of the stuff they do with their pots, right? Even down Portage Avenue, they had all the yellow, what were they called this year? Canna lilies.
The cannas were amazing this year. They were stunning.
Yeah.
And yellow was the Communities in Bloom year of the color last year. Mm. By the way, Communities in Bloom is involved with us as a partner. And so we are also looking for, and we've had a number of municipalities outside of Winnipeg now declare, this is the year of the garden there as well. So we're thinking about how do we, I mean, I'm very parochial, even though I'm on the national board, I'm thinking about how does Manitoba, how do Winnipeg, how do we capitalize on this for the best? And I said, cheekily said at the last meeting, well, I think Winnipeg might declare itself the garden capital of the country. And everybody got quite upset. So, somebody else is thinking about this. Well, you know, you snooze, you lose. But really.
I have a question now. So people are going to grow these gardens. They're going to be beautiful. We're going to promote them to see them. What does the Year of the Garden Committee plan to do? Are they acknowledging any gardens? Are they...
They have a whole bunch of things that are coming down the pike. They have, let me see. I've got a few notes here. I was looking at the list a little bit earlier. They're planning to do a garden photo contest. They have a schools component. They have a monthly garden theme. They have a garden, what they were calling a garden prescription, but somebody took an issue with that. So we had to change the name a little bit. But basically, how do you get your garden fixed, you know, on a weekly basis? So they've got a whole list of these kinds of initiatives that we'll start to roll out as soon as we announce.
Oh, exciting. Okay,
lots of opportunity. I love the idea of the tours. By the way, National Garden Tour. Mm-hmm. And there's also a book being published about gardens. We're getting two gardens in Manitoba. And you know what really makes me excited? The front cover is the International Peace Garden. As you know, I'm chair, so I'm really excited about that. Guess what the back cover is? And I think this is great. It's Bouchard. They put Bouchard at the back.
Oh, wow.
The peace garden on the front, which I love. Also, we're covering the diversity gardens.
Yes.
And this is going to be a big year for the whole garden thing, because we should open the conservatory this year, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of excitement about that. I certainly... I'm hoping that this year I'll be able to bring the former parliamentarians to Winnipeg. And one of the things they want to see is that garden. That's one of the things that gets them excited. So I think if COVID just behaves itself and does its two-month thing and then disappears for a while, we'll be able to have a lot of fun this year.
Well, it seems that, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But when we're outside, we have the ability to distance much better. And it seems
we're soaking up vitamin D.
Exactly.
Which is also apparently, you know, one of the things that makes us a little less vulnerable if we have enough vitamin D in our system. In Canada, so many people don't, because we don't spend so much time outside. Yes. And have you noticed throughout COVID that there's a lot more people walking, a lot more people in their front yards?
Well, I have to tell you very selfishly, when COVID first started back in March, back in 2020, I guess it was.
Yes, 2020.
I saw, I'd done a lot of work in the field of active transportation. I've lobbied long and hard for 20 years to get more walking trails and sidewalks and bike paths and such. I talk about silver linings. This is one of the best silver linings ever, right? For people getting out, and then when they get out, they're like, oh, wow, isn't this great? And then, oh, wow, we want more, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's been very positive.
Which I think is something, you guys are going to start a website, and I think that's great. I might start a group that's devoted to revealing the secrets. This would be a public, you know, like a general, everybody can join kind of thing. But show us your favorite park. Show us your favorite public garden. Show us your favorite garden.
Yes.
Within the city, sometimes people are shy about sharing their own, but I would think it would be so interesting to know where all of these various parks and gardens are. And there's so many I hear about. I've never been to Kings Park.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And, you know, when I was the councillor for that area, I put in a new fountain because they used to draw from the river and it would always get plugged up with the sediments. So we put in a new fountain system because they have this big structure of rocks that they built back in the day. And then there was no fountain. Now we've got this beautiful fountain.
Wow. I've got to get over
there. Flowers and, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
I wonder if we could do a garden tour of the public gardens.
Absolutely we could.
I wonder if one of the garden groups would take this on, you know, make it a fundraiser. So charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have one of those buses that could take people around. Yep. We used to do that with the symphony when we did our garden.
Yes, right.
Love. Right. And really introduce people to the beauties of this city that are hidden from so many. There's so many little tiny enclaves, little park enclaves where they're, you know, you just stumble across them. Some of them in your own neighborhood that you don't even know exist.
Even in Charleswood, when I was routing the Trans-Canada Trail, there were these little bridges over creeks and like, I never would have thought to go over there and see it, you know, and they were kind of little foresty areas, very beautiful.
Well, and I live in Charleswood, so I'm aware of some of them and we walk a lot here, but I discovered one just a few weeks ago up by the school. I didn't know it was there. And there was a problem because somebody wanted to build something adjacent, a seniors home adjacent to this little park that I didn't know it even existed.
Right.
Because I passed by that place all of the time.
Right.
So there's, I think it would be really lovely to let people know that this green city concept is so important. Flower city, green city.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you know, and maybe you've thought about this, that is there a Winnipeg flower, like a flower that's floral emblem for Winnipeg?
Well, on our Winnipeg flag, we have the crocus, right? We have the
image. That's Manitoba, though, right?
That's Manitoba. We don't really, not that I'm aware of, no. Oh, that's
because
another
one time
project.
I think back in the 20s, they declared the peony.
Oh, really?
It's a floral emblem of Winnipeg, but I don't know what happened to it. I think it disappeared.
Oh, wow.
And that's a strange one, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's not native to this area. But everybody had peonies, and they used to grow them from seed. They'd save the seed and
you go to really old cemeteries, and the peonies are there.
Yeah.
Decades and decades of old peonies. It is incredible in Manitoba's climate that such a beautiful, robust, fragrant flower comes up year after year after year, right?
They'll last 80 years or even more if you divide them. Yeah, they're very, very long-lived perennial. So it's kind of, but it might be kind of fun to think about a floral emblem for our city.
I know. There's a thought. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about all these things, and the garden. We could have a garden photo contest in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, just take a picture of somebody's garden or a flower or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think if we can get people excited about it,
mm-hmm.
involved, I think that everybody will win on this whole question.
Well, and it raises the attention of the beauty of beauty, right? Because really, I mean, there's just some incredibly beautiful gardens in front yards, driving down a street, right? Like,
did you know that Winnipeg was designed on the City Beautiful theme? So no. In the turn of the 18th to the 19th century, Cities Beautiful was a big deal. People were trying to make their cities absolutely gorgeous. And Winnipeg's design, and that's why you have that broad, you know, Memorial Boulevard and Broadway. And that was part of this whole idea that keeping the city beautiful. And really, there are still vestiges of that kind of beauty, even though there are places that need to be rehabilitated.
Yes.
So when I look at that downtown area, actually, this is being started by the Trinity, Holy Trinity Church, who decided that they wanted to redo their garden, which has been bound in by a wrought iron fence for the last number of years. They're removing all of that. They're redesigning their whole garden space. And what they want is to be able to carry that green theme beyond their own precinct in down the street.
Oh, beautiful.
And provide people an avenue to get to the Forks.
Oh, beautiful. Well, and look at the beautiful Upper Fort Garry site. And if people have ever watched through there, Garry Kilderman, bless his soul, did an incredible design job of the Upper Fort Garry site. Interesting.
I went through there last spring for the first time.
Ah.
I had some time to kill. Actually, my granddaughter got married on June the 13th. And I got my vaccine the same day. So, you know, it was one of those little tiny COVID weddings. you've got 10, well, she was allowed to have, I think, 10 people. So she had two weddings back to back.
Nice.
So she could have 10 and 10.
Nice.
Smart kid, eh?
Crazy.
And then, of course, my next after the wedding, I had my vaccine plan, my second one. So I wandered around downtown and I stopped and took a walk through that beautiful little park.
Yeah, it's a little nugget tucked in there, right?
For, yeah.
for downtown people that live downtown, right? And to have that beauty right there.
And people don't know that there's parking in behind. So because I've had that, did some pictures, posted them, as people said, well, how do you park there? Well, there is parking right behind it. Yeah. We need to do a better job with our signage for those little gems to get folks to really explore them.
Yes, it's well, I think if we start with even a web page, I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, right? And the waterfront. You know, I think people forget that you can walk a lot further than you used to be. It's not just the boardwalk anymore, or the river walk. You can go, oh gosh, quite a long ways down Waterfront Drive, mm-hmm. along mm-hmm. the river, yeah. and most people don't even look at that little park, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it's spectacular on Market and mm-hmm. Waterfront. It is just spectacular because they've laid the flowers into the limestone that are set on an angle, right? And you get all these little things growing amongst them, and it is very, again, city gardeners, just incredible talent, right?
Yes. So yeah. No. One of the things that fascinates me too is that we have a ballpark that's actually a park. It's got the reputation throughout that league as being the most beautiful ballpark in the league.
Oh, really?
And it is beautiful. If you're at a ball game there and you're looking out over it, you can see the rivers in behind. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah. No, it is. It is spectacular. It is just spectacular. So, no, we've got a lot of good things down at Riverview, by Riverview in that community. All the orchards that are on the riverbanks and the massive community garden down there. Incredible, right?
Like, now, tell me about the orchards, because I used to represent that area and I don't remember orchards.
Oh, yeah. They've planted all kinds of fruit trees in there.
Have they?
Yes. All kinds of fruit trees now. All kinds of fruit trees. And I believe they've got a greenhouse in there that the community can use to start things in. So it's quite a little hive of activity for sure.
So there is so much going on in the garden world that we as ordinary citizens just never think about. We've got to find a way to get that information out for people. Do you know there is a site called Manitoba Gardens, and it's my friend Tim Evans who put this together. He's got over 10,000 members on that site.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's incredible. And then it's sort of grown organically.
Yeah,
or so I'll have to give him a big shout out and say good work, Tim.
Bit of fish emulsion in there, I'm sure.
He's got a fabulous garden himself over on the St. James side on Assiniboine.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't aware of that. See, I wasn't aware of that. It's like we need this one-stop spot, you know, that people can go to. So,
well, and from the city's point of view, now you talk to Dave Domke, he's all on side. Is he excited?
Yeah. Well, you know, as excited as he can be with 300,000 things to do. So I'm going to keep encouraging him along on this one. I'm going to make a motion or two to get some action.
Here.
But you know what? Regardless of Year of the Garden or not, we should have this information up there, because we spend tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars in city beautification. Yeah. Aligned city beautification, so why not highlight it, right? So this is sometimes you need those little triggers, and this is a good trigger to do that.
It is a good trigger. How can citizens get involved, do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess right off the bat is to plant a garden, or is to, you know, continue gardening. And then, you know, from the larger national perspective, I mean, if it's taking photos and posting photos, if it's sharing information on their Facebook pages or social media pages, or, you know, just sort of spreading the word, really.
Celebrate the Year of the Garden.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take one more break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other possible things that we can do to get people excited about this. We'll be back right after this next song, which is going to be one of my favorites, actually. One you probably haven't heard for a long, long time. I like these old songs. The Old Lamplighter. Makes me think of gardens. The brown.
He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. His snowy hair so much whiter beneath the candle glow. The old lamp light. hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memory. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. Now if you look up in the sky, you'll understand the reason why the little stars at night are all aglow. He turns them on when night is here, he turns them off when dawn is near, the little man we loved of long ago. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old
back. We're talking the year of the garden, and Janice Lukes has got some brilliant ideas. You just mentioned one that I think is really super, pollinator garden. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, in the area that I represent in Waverly West, we put in a very large community garden this past year. We had over 52 garden plots, and we had this little triangle that didn't really, wasn't sort of a rentable plot. Well, I mean, I guess it was rentable, but this year we're going to plant a pollinator garden in it.
Good.
And, you know, a pollinator garden, obviously, is to attract bees, butterflies, bugs, and things to pollinate.
Right.
So I think that that's something people probably have their own pollinator gardens and don't even realize there are some of the plants they're planting are pollinator plants, right?
Well, but, yeah, it's those native plants that the pollinators really, really like.
Yes, yes. So that's I think that that's really kind of keen. It's kind of interesting. And that will be one of the things, because, you know, if you think about all these gardens, all the beautiful, like the hummingbirds that we had this year. Oh, my, I don't know if it was a hummingbird year or we just, I don't know what they liked, but hummingbirds and we had a lot of butterflies. I had a lot of flowers this year on my pots, and I guess that attracted a lot. But again, like birds, butterflies, and bees, they'll all come, you know, those are fascinating to watch.
Well, it animates your garden, that kind of life. When you're outside and you can see, you can hear the bees buzzing, you can see the butterflies flitting through the air, dragonflies, the birds, the little squirrels, all of that just brings back a sense of joy and an understanding that life goes on. And, you know, some of the things that people have been going through the winter and when it's gloomy and doomy, just that kind of melts away with the when you're in a garden.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite gardens is at the Leo Moll Sculpture Garden.
I love that.
The lily pads and the water lily garden, right? I call it a water lily garden. And you could see frogs in there.
Yeah.
And I would take my kids there when they were little all the time. It was so beautiful. And it still is so beautiful, right?
Well,
so.
And I like to go a little bit further along to the Japanese garden, where there's that, it's grown over now and they've got a pavilion and you can sit there and watch the ducks in the pond. I really like that part too. It's very interesting because as you walk, if you've done this year, you walk through the new Gardens of Diversity, which is very new and very different and quite exposed. So, you know, if it's hot, you might want to keep walking to a cooler place. But it's such a transition. It's so different from this sort of native grasses and native flowers and then meander on down through the trees, get to the English garden and then get to some, you know, the beautiful lily pad garden. Mm-hmm. I guess you could call it that, right? And finally, to the Japanese thing, it really is quite an experience.
Yeah, I haven't been to the new gardens this year. I didn't get there this summer. I thought I'll give them a year and I'll let them really, you know, get going. It was such a dry year, too.
Well, it was interesting, though, because a lot of the plants are native.
Right.
So, and plus they have plants that like perovskite, like the Russian sage, that really doesn't mind that dryness. Yes. And yes. A lot of grasses. And they have these berms, which I'm not a big fan of berms on the prairie, but I have to say that they do add an item of interest in this garden, because you climb to the top and you can see the whole vista below. And they also have a vegetable garden. And they have pavilions where you can actually eat. And I'm not sure what they plan for the long term there, but they grow all kinds of strange things, like from things from all around the world, like okra, for example, which you wouldn't expect to see.
Right.
It's worth a trip. I really encourage people to go out there and have a look. Parking can be a little bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. I usually park on the street and walk across. But wherever, you know, there is parking, of course, within the park. It depends on how far you want to walk.
Right. Oh, no, I think it's all going to be very exciting. I went on a tour when they're building it, before the roof went on. Right. And was actually just shocked to learn that this will be the largest indoor waterfall in North America.
Oh, that's in the leaf when they finally open it.
Yes. The largest indoor waterfall in North America.
That's worth looking at. That's worth coming to see.
That's something to check out.
It sure is. Well, you know, you think about it, though, and it's not just us. I mean, we've got all these wonderful little, community gardens. But I've discovered as I drive throughout the province that there's a lot of gardens, small community gardens in just about every little town, usually done, by the citizens who are just trying to make a more beautiful space. Lovely little one in Boisevane.
Yes.
Which is kind of hidden. They're always kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. Lovely one in Dauphin, mm-hmm. And of course, here in Winnipeg, we just have such an amazing amount of these things.
Yeah. No, very fortunate.
You were talking about pollinator gardens, and I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a fellow named Robert Falcon-Millett, who was the MP for Winnipeg Center. Mm-hmm. He lives in Seine River now, and he told me the other day that he is raising bees, urban bees. That's his new passion. I think that's a great idea.
Yes. A lot of people are. And what are those bees that live in the pencils? They look like they're pencils. They're little tubes.
Yeah, they're just little native bees.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of shops selling the houses for them, very interesting.
A lot of solitary bees. They're, in fact, the honeybees that we hear so much about are not native to this part of the world. They were imported. Mm-hmm. And so most of the pollination takes place by little flies and little bees and little insects that we don't even probably recognize what they are. We used to call them flower flies or something. Little bees. So if you plant native plants, you're not only going to feed these bees, but you're also going to keep the birds happy.
Yes.
And especially if you don't be too big a hurry to cut back your perennials, because if they grow seeds, and especially if they're a little harder to grow, the birds love them in the winter. It gives them something to eat, gives the rabbits something to eat.
I did that. I got so busy one year, I never pulled out all my plants in the pots. I just left them. I do it every year now. We had such entertainment out the window between the birds and the rabbits. It was like incredible. It was incredible. So
the rabbits love it when you leave parsley in the pot.
Yeah.
Because it stays green a long time, and they get some chlorophyll in the middle of winter.
Yes. Quite amazing. One thing that was amazing this summer that I don't even know the names of all the vegetables. So we have a lot of diversity from people around the world in Southwest Winnipeg.
Right.
And a lot of people gardened at home, and they want to garden here, but they're living either in an apartment or small yard. So there were things growing in these gardens that I have never seen before. Vegetable sort of things.
That would be interesting.
One looked like an okra, but it wasn't. And so it was really interesting. A lot of funky looking eggplants,
Yeah. Have you seen bitter melon growing?
I don't know what half this stuff was. It was just amazing. And the way people grew, one of the most fascinating things that I saw this year, Dorothy, was taking a tomato cage, the metal sort of cone, and this individual grew their peas up the tomato cage so that the peas didn't flop all over. It was the best idea ever because peas, you know how peas flop, right?
Yeah.
And they had a row of about 8 of these tomato cages and all their peas were perfect growing up. It was just, anyways.
Well, I saw a really interesting growth of a garden of peas this summer. Mm-hmm. And it was in Saskatchewan, actually. But what the fellow did is he built sort of like an overhead rack. Just, you know, like 4 legs and this thing would be maybe 6 feet tall. And then he had strings across the top or like little slats and he hung strings on them and he attached them to the peas below and the peas grew up the strings. So there was they were sort of floating, but they grew. It was just a really intense way. Yeah, because he had a very tiny garden. Yes. So he was getting a huge crop of peas and not getting them dirty.
Well, when I worked downtown at my flower shop for many years, many Portuguese people worked with me and I'd go to their homes afterwards and they were all about vertical gardening because downtown Victor Street, Agnes, small lots, masters of vertical gardening. Right. It was incredible. So that's an art and a science in itself to see a vertical garden.
Absolutely. But it just goes to show you don't need to have acres of land to have a fantastic garden. In fact, some of the most beautiful gardens I've been to are very, very small.
Yeah.
Because you have to focus so much. And one of the best gardens in Winnipeg, it's really always really interesting, is Mr. Tomato's garden.
Oh, and I've never seen it.
It's quite small. But he has made these little rooms. So you meander through, you feel like you're in this big park, you know, but it's just a small garden.
Nice, nice. Well, I think Year of the Garden is going to be a very exciting time. I think we'll do, you know, all the combined efforts of promoting it will, you know, inspire people. And I think, you know, depending on when the announcement comes, I mean, in January, I'm going to start writing about it and sort of trying to get some excitement going and get them out hunting at the seed stores and whatever, you know, but no, I think it's going to be very exciting.
Well, let's stay in touch about it, Jan, and see if, you know, I'm sure there's lots of things we can do to collaborate. I'm right beside you in this endeavor, and I'm very excited. And I really think Winnipeg should be the garden city of the country.
I do, too. I'll vote for that.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and spending this hour with me. I've really appreciated it. And, you know, Year of the Garden, here we come. 2022 is going to be exciting.
Very exciting. Thank you for all your work, Dorothy. Thank you.
Take care, Jan.
Okay.
See you next week, folks. I really enjoyed having Janice Lukes on the show with me today. You know, she's such a positive individual and she seems to add a bright smile wherever she goes. So here's a song in memory of her and for her. Sweet Violets by Dinah Shore.
Sweet violets, sweeter than the roses, covered all over from head to toe, covered all over with sweet violets.
There once was a farmer who took a young miss in back of the barn where he gave her a lecture on horses and chickens and eggs and told her that she had such beautiful manners that suited a girl of her charms, a girl that he wanted to take in his washing and ironing, and then if she did, they could get married and raise lots of
sweet violets. Sweeter than the roses, covered all over from head to toe, covered all over with sweet violets.
The girl told the farmer that he'd better stop, and she called her father and he called a taxi and got there before very long, 'cause someone was doing his little girl right for a change. And so that's why he said, if you marry her, son, you're better off single, 'cause it's always been my belief marriage will bring a man nothing but
sweet violets. Sweeter than the roses, covered all over from head to toe, covered all over with sweet violets.
The farmer decided he'd wed anyway, and started in planning for his wedding suit, which he purchased for only $1. But then he found out he was just out of money, and so he got left in the lurch, a standing and waiting in front of the end of the story, which just goes to show all a girl wants from a man is his sweet violets, sweeter than the roses, covered all over from head to toe, covered all over with sweet violets.